Northern Brewer is the proud sponsor of the Brewing Network's Jameel Show. They have the widest selection of domestic and imported malts and grain, hops from all over the world, and a full line of liquid and dry yeast. No matter what style of beer you're brewing, Northern Brewer has the ingredients you need, plus fast shipping and expert staff to help you make the best beer possible. Please visit northernbrewer.com for all things homebrew. Is proud to present Beer Radio that turns ordinary homebrew into award-winning beer. The Jameel Show. And now, your hosts, Jameel Zainasheff and John Plisay.
Hey, howdy, hey!
Yes!
Woo! Oh my god.
Oh, it's so good to be back.
Yeah, it's amazing how quickly 4 weeks goes, you know? Yeah.
I miss you during this time.
Do you really?
I see you every once in a while, I guess, in between, but...
Well, you live all the way up there, and I live all the way down here, so...
I just have such a good time...
Talking beer.
Doing this, you know? It just... You know, my daily routine, I go through, I got to work, I got, you know, all this other stuff that's going on to make a paycheck and just to make things hang. Yeah, you know, and I was I was digging like the frickin' Panama Canal in my front yard trying to find a find a broken sprinkler pipe.
Oh no.
Oh, brutal. You know, I was digging. Luckily had some Firestone Walker Union Jack.
Oh, that'll
work me through it. Unfortunately, that's like 7.5% alcohol. It's real tasty, but me and my neighbor were digging through and digging it up and repairing the pipe. But yeah,
did you find it finally?
Found it. You know, I spent my entire weekend
digging a hole
and filling it back in.
Wow,
it was brutal.
See how important beer is for you, though? I mean...
Oh, yeah. It made it worth it, you know, sitting and, like, talking about the beer and enjoying it. And, but, you know, it's just brutal dealing with the daily stuff. But coming here, doing this show,
nice.
Seeing you, your smiling
I'm
face,
smiling.
It makes me feel good.
I brushed my teeth before I came, too, so...
Oh, you know, and speaking of work... I was at down at work on Thursday for some meetings, and we were going to have like a little party for people who worked on the projects that I work on.
And
we were supposed to go to some sushi place, and then somebody said, well, you know, you like beer. Is there like a place around that serves, you know, beer?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm like, hey, you know. 21A.
Yeah. Let's go there.
Second Street, right down here, you know, close to work.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, okay, if you want to go there, have you been there before? I'm like, yeah,
a few
once
times.
Or twice.
Like every show? 21A.
So, yeah. So I got all the people from work to come down there. And, you know, we just sat upstairs and, like, oh, you know, what's good? I'm like, oh, you know, try whatever. And they had a beer I haven't tried before, which is their red ale.
Mm hmm.
I can't remember the name of it now.
Is it the one that they serve on nitrogen?
I don't know. But it was really good. Oh, all wow. I know is like, oh, I'll try the red ale.
Yeah.
And I drank a minimum of 3, probably 4 pints of that.
Wow.
And I wanted to have other stuff because,
yeah.
You know, they got a lot of other really good beers.
Sure.
I ended up like drinking 3 or 4 of these things with people from work, and they're looking at me like I'm a freaking
like,
maniac.
What's wrong with you?
You know, they're drinking like 1, maybe 2.
Yeah.
I'm drinking 4.
Yeah.
And they were so good, so drinkable, so smooth, so well balanced.
Right.
You know, perfect hop and malt.
Yep.
And oh,
clean.
I just loved it. Yeah, clean mm-hmm. and, you know, nothing funky or wild. It was just really good beer.
Right.
You know, that you could drink. I could have sat there all night. I could have had 10. You know,
yeah.
I could have just sat there and had pint after pint, and I felt wonderful afterwards. Here's the other thing: is their fermentation is so well controlled, so perfect. You know, a lot of times you go a place and you'll have a couple of pints or something. There's some fusel alcohols in there. You know, they're
not controlled.
Yeah, they're not controlling their temperature. Yeah. Gives you a raging headache.
Yep.
I had 4 pints of this.
And you're fine.
I felt fine.
Nice.
No headache, no hangover, just felt wonderful.
You felt good.
Oh, and it just relaxed me. It went really well with the meal I had. And the food there at the 2-1-A is excellent. I had this, I can't remember the name of that. You know how horrible I am with names.
It's okay.
But this chicken wrapped with prosciutto, and that was delicious. Great, too.
Service good?
I'm just like, service was excellent.
Nice.
Yeah, beer was excellent. The food was excellent. You know, made up for being with people from work, which, they're nice people, but again, people from work, you know.
But outside of work, it's okay.
Yeah. No, they're actually the people I was with are probably some of the best people I work with.
Awesome.
So, that helped. But,
life couldn't get better than that.
I think that might have been another 50-point beer experience.
Wow. Yeah. That's a huge compliment.
Is that good?
Well, for you to drink 4 beers, period.
Right.
And that's a big compliment.
The same beers,
For the same beers, yeah.
That was, I think that's another 50-point beer experience. And again, it's, there's a lot of little variables, mood, environment, and the people you're with, and everything else.
Sure.
But that was really good.
Wow.
That was really, really good.
Good way to end your week.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. And I say this every time. I go to the 2-1-A, and, I expect it to be good.
Yeah.
But and, I don't think I'm going to be thrilled or anything. And then I have the beer, I have the food. I'm like, you're so good. I'm surprised every time I go down. I expect really good stuff.
Wow.
And I'm surprised every time. It's just like, I don't understand how that works.
Sure. Well, that's like the great thing about a great restaurant is like if they can keep you coming back, they're doing their job, you know?
Right, exactly.
Over and over. Yeah. That's really hard to do.
Well, and beer-wise, too.
Yeah.
It's like,
especially with their palate, I mean.
Well, in a lot of places you go, I'm sure you feel this way.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, well, this beer here is decent. I'll have that. That beer here is decent. I'll have that.
Yeah, like a go-to.
Oh, this is okay. But nothing that really just like, I need to drink a whole bunch of that because I'm not going to be back around here that soon. You're right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just fantastic.
Awesome.
2-1-A, the 21st Amendment in San Francisco.
It's on 3rd Street.
Second Street,
yeah. 3 blocks from
near the park. Near the AT&T Park. But
you could take Muni right down there. Just walk 2 blocks up and you're there and drinking and driving. You're
well,
set.
Yeah, when I leave work in San Francisco, I go right by there.
Okay.
And, I'm not there that often, but... it was just wonderful.
Wow.
And again, just...
It's like a liquid orgasm for you.
Yeah, I'm just surprised nice. Every time that it's that good. It's like...
Consistently.
Yeah, consistently
trick,
surprises
sure.
me. And,
now I'm hungry and thirsty. We got 2 hours of show to do. It's going to be a tough one, buddy.
Yeah. There you go. All right, so I'll tell you, another thing that's consistently good. Our sponsor, Northern Brewer.
Oh, for sure.
Consistently surprise you with excellent service, excellent prices, excellent selection. If you're going to be buying stuff, Northern Brewer, they sponsor the show and do a great job.
Quite knowledgeable.
Yeah. And the other thing you might want to consider, AHA membership.
You should not consider, you should do. You can't pass
you're right.
up.
You're right.
You can't pass up.
You're absolutely right. Go to the Brewing Network store. TheBrewingNetwork.com
/store.
Free shipping. Get yourself an AHA membership. And I want you to go and get an AHA membership. If you don't have an AHA membership, I don't like you. Don't want to answer your questions.
Don't even listen.
You're dead to me.
You're dead. It's all over. My heart is broken.
I get zero when you buy an AHA membership. Yeah. I still want you to do it. The people at the AHA are great. If you buy a membership, it helps support the Brewing Network. Helps keep this show going.
Oh, keeps us brewing.
And it's going to make you a better brewer.
Oh, yeah.
Trust me, if you buy an AHA membership, and at the end of a year, you are not a better... And you got to read the magazine, and you got to participate in the forum and all that stuff.
Sure.
You're not a better brewer. I don't know what to do to help you.
Yeah.
could yak in this microphone for years, and you're not going to be a better proof. That doesn't help you. Yeah. So go to the store, get yourself an AHA membership. It's cheap. You get a Zymergy magazine. You get AHA Tech Talk.
Pub discounts
that'll pay for your membership in a lot of states, sure. Not all states, but where I live, it pays for mine, and you know, over and over. The kids love BJ's Brewery.
It's not a free beer, actually. If you drink a lot, you know?
Yeah, they give me 10% on all food.
Whoa.
And so I save, like, you know...
free tax.
$5 every time I go, and, you know, the kids want to go there, the wife wants to go there. We go there, you know, 10 times a year, $50 right there.
There you go.
Yep. And we go at least once a month.
Nice.
So maybe that's $60.
Yeah, it's worth it. Shit.
Yeah. And it's a membership's like $38.
And that's quality family time, too.
Yep. Absolutely.
I'm sure your girls are proud of you, you know, just like, hey, my dad knows all this stuff, you know?
Ah, they say that stuff. My kids are nice. They're probably just saying that to be nice to me.
If I tell my dad this, will he give me this for Christmas?
All right, tonight we're talking about Irish Red Ale.
Yes, we are. And is there any docs left by chance? It's all gone. Darn it.
Chad had a
God, I was dreaming about that on the way over here.
Chad had an awesome one. Just like Smithwick's, a little more malty.
Mm.
A fantastic example. That was in I'd say it was in the mid-40s.
Wow. That's
maybe like 44. I think if I was in competition, I would probably, honestly, 43, 44.
Nice.
Just excellent. It was flawless.
Wow.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe it was a little too malty. Maybe that would be my flaw.
You never know. That could be like a benefit.
Yeah.
Depends who's judging, I guess.
But, you know, didn't do well in the first round of the competition.
Good. And
I'll tell you who did take first in the first round of the Nationals with an Irish Red. Me.
What?
And you know what beer that was?
No.
It was not the beer we're going to tell you to brew tonight.
It was an Irish Red, though.
It's what judges would anticipate as an Irish Red.
Oh, interesting.
Which is wrong.
Yeah.
They just didn't know what they were doing.
Wow. Well, at least you're honest. You know, I got first and it didn't deserve it.
You know, it didn't deserve it. I'm just so disappointed.
You feel better that you got it off your chest now?
I don't know. Hey, I got something going to the second round.
All right.
But... totally wrong, because you know, I sit down before I enter the Nationals and I take all my examples of a certain style. So I'll have like three or four Irish Reds and I'll try them side by side and I'll say, well, this one's the one that is really the best example of the style that I could possibly find. This one should be the winner,
right?
Yeah, in the first round, this should win.
Okay.
And in the past, I've done that with Irish Red.
Sure.
You know, most styles, it works out for me. In Irish Red, never worked out. I always could never place.
Right.
And I'm thinking,
never in
the
first
round. What's going on? What's wrong? Right. And, you know, looking at the style guides and looking at the score sheets that come back, I'm thinking, well, people are looking more for maybe a Scottish 80 than they're looking for...
So lower
an Irish Red. Well, they're looking for something that has some caramel character to it.
Okay.
Because the Irish Red style guidelines talk about caramel way too much.
Oh, a lot.
This is one thing that I think it's excessive compared to the styles.
Sure.
And I think, you know, if you have the commercial examples and you read this, it makes sense. If you don't have the commercial examples, which a lot of people do, you know, they don't have the commercial examples and they read this, they focus way too much on caramel.
Okay.
So what I did was enter a beer that had a lot of caramel character to it.
Wow. And that did
it. And it got first place.
Interesting.
And it really wasn't the best example that was out there. Because I've had Chad's, and that was the best example.
Wow. Well, that's quite a compliment.
Did you
have multiple Irish Reds, though, of your own to compare to the three commercial examples you had?
Oh, no.
I just had one.
I had like three or four of my own.
Of your own. Okay, I thought they were commercial.
And I've tried the commercial examples, and but I've had my own, and I was comparing my own to pick the best one.
Wow. Okay. Right. And you took the caramel one.
And it was kind of like, well, this is what they're looking for, but it's really not the best example. I was really pissed off that it got first place because I'm thinking, you know, this is really wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not what it should be. They're mistaken. And, you know, for second round, I'm thinking, well, maybe I should enter the one that is actually a good example versus this crappy example.
Well, now will you enter that one second round? The one that you think is actually a better style?
I can't decide.
Oh.
I don't know.
Well, why don't you give me the six pack, and I'll drink some of it,
right,
and then I'll get back to you on it.
You'll let me know which one I should enter?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. I don't know if the judges in Cincinnati will be as pathetic on this style as the guys we had here on this style. I'm sorry, man. You guys blew it. You know, that's just the honest opinion.
Nice.
And you know, I got first place, but I'm really not that happy about it. Why don't you give us a real quick rundown on what the style does.
All right. Well, an Irish red has very minimal hop aroma, hints of caramel,
mm-hmm.
keyword caramel,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes small traces of toastiness or mm-hmm. butter coming through in the nose. Visually, it has a deep red copper color, very clear, and off-white tan head retention. Flavor-wise, it's some caramel malt flavor with a toasty, toffee quality, light quality coming through. That's a lot of quality. Finishes with a roasted grain flavor on the palate, minimal hop flavor, medium dry finish is very important. You don't want it cloyingly sweet, but I don't know if yours was because it was caramelly.
Mm-hmm.
Should have a clean, smooth, malty finish. Some lager-like qualities are apparent. Overall, it's a very approachable dark ale
mm-hmm.
With an emphasis on maltiness. And you get an initial sweetness up front, complemented by like a nice roasty dry finish.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, and I think one of the things you're saying, you know, the cloying, the sweetness. A lot of times, when you have a sweet beer, something that's under attenuated,
mm-hmm.
people associate. You know, judges will associate that with caramel.
Sure.
They think caramel sweet caramel.
Right.
And it's not true. You could actually dissociate the flavor of caramel with the sweetness. I know it's difficult to do, but there's caramel flavor and there's caramel sweetness, just like there's maltiness and malty.
Is that,
you know, malty sweetness and malty flavor.
Wow, I have a lot of questions regarding that.
Right?
Yeah,
so,
sure.
So, but I think that's, you know, a really an interesting, you know,
when you really have to have a trained palate to really decipher between those, I think.
Right.
And you have to drink beer to know that, though.
But you know what I'm saying.
Sure, I do.
I know you know what I'm saying.
But
that when you have caramel, if you were to have like a piece of caramel from See's Candy,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's sweet, but what are all the other flavors that are in caramel? Right?
Yeah, there's butteriness. There's,
right. Exactly. And then, you know, kind of a toasty and, you know, there's a roasty
kind of
in there.
Cocoa-y, maybe?
Yeah. And all that stuff in there, if you were to separate out the sweetness, that's caramel flavor versus caramel sweetness. You know, sweetness, I think, sweet is a base flavor.
Right.
And then, you know, it applies to so many other things. Malty sweetness, caramel sweetness, which is kind of a malty sweetness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all these other sweetnesses, you know, there's just one sweet. And everything that applies on top of it that you might associate to caramel or whatever, those are the flavors.
Right.
And there's a sweetness that goes along with it. But people just, in their minds, they link one to the other.
Right.
And they can't dissociate them.
Right.
And I think in the Irish ales, you want that caramel flavor, but not that sweetness. You have an initial sweetness, but it needs to finish dry.
Right.
Chad's finished dry.
Right. But and, on the palate, though, up front, is probably very malty and sweet.
Yeah. Okay. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Huh.
And that flavor comes through. It's bold, but then it finishes dry and makes you want to take another sip. It's a, you know, an easy quaffing, you know, pint after pint type of beer.
Yeah, it's smooth.
Yeah. Nice. Absolutely. All right, so we'll take a break. When we come back after this, we will get into the recipe for a good Irish red ale.
Oh, crap, it's the hop shortage.
No, not the organic, free-range, oyster Russian imperial coffee stout.
It's all gone. We'll never brew again.
Damn this hop shortage. Damn it to hell.
Oi! F*** away off your wee f***ing hop shortage, f***.
Who are you?
A f***ing Scottish 80 shilling, and you cannot brew a Scottish 80 shilling like you was mixing f***ing cement with f***ing hops instead of gravel, your great f***ing ass.
Use less hops, brew more beer. Northern Brewer has kits and ingredients for dozens of worldwide beer styles that don't require a lot of hops to make a great pint, like the bloodthirsty and abusive Scottish 80 Shilling. Keep drinking great beer. Order at northernbrewer.com and get flat rate $7.99 shipping anywhere in the contiguous U.S. One beer kit, $7.99 shipping. 1 million beer kits, $7.99 shipping.
Together we can beat this hop shortage.
My lambic!
It'll only f***ing help it.
What have you gotten out of a vial of White Labs yeast?
WLP-001, Cal Ale, baby!
23, Burton Ale.
008, East Coast Ale.
Cal Common, WLP-810.
It's gonna be WLP-400 with beer!
I got a sweet hoodie for my vial.
Huh?
White Labs, your source for great brewer's yeast, would like to invite all homebrewers to join the White Labs Customer Club. Redeem your empty vials for great White Labs merchandise and products. Free yeast, glassware, t-shirts, baseball caps, sweatshirts, polo shirts, and you won't believe what you'll get for 5,000 vials. Members also receive a newsletter packed with White Labs updates and facts, interviews with professional brewers, brew your own clone recipes, beercook.com recipes, and customer club stories. The White Labs Customer Club. Save your vials and get in the club. White Labs. It's all in the vial.
Did you know that every day a brewcaster goes to bed hungry? Did you know that that brewcaster is silently calling for the help of people just like you? Do you know that every day the unicorn and the rainbow have to blow sailors for loose change? For less than the cost of a half-calf, quad-shot, venti, extra-hot soy milk, triple-pump, hazel, low-fat foam, double-cupped macchiato a day, you can help starving adults in Pacheco. Your love can be felt for as little as 7 cents a day. Visit thebrewingnetwork.com/donate to sign up today for as little as $2 a month. Private first class in the BN Army. Buy your way up the ranks as corporal, sergeant, ranger, or colonel with an easy-to-do monthly donation that keeps brewcasters alive and your favorite internet radio station broadcasting. No donation is too small to help those in need. Can't you find it in your heart to share your love with a brewcaster? In return, you will enjoy the wealth of knowledge that comes with every episode of The Session, The Jameel Show, and yes, even that other show. Thank you for listening, and please sign up for your donation at thebrewingnetwork.com/donate today.
You're listening to The Brewing Network.
And now, back to The Jameel Show.
Yeah. We're back. We're talking Irish red ale.
And we're drinking beer.
Yeah, we're having a bunch of... Well, we were just talking about Saison DuPont and how if you were to enter that in competition, you probably wouldn't place because it's like a just a flaw. Mike McDowell's here with us. He brought us a flawless example of Saison, and it's in really good shape. It's, you know, that's what a Saison should be, and you know, a lot of people would probably, you know, bitch and whine that it was too dry or this or that. Who knows? And here's, you know, but here's the thing.
Oh, let it out. I like this. You're on a roll.
Here's the thing. Is, you know, people whine and complain about the competition and judging. And it's like, oh, you know, they got it wrong. It's like, you know, driving on the freeway. I was thinking about this driving down here.
Okay.
You know, there's 1,000 good drivers around you. They're not weaving in and out and cutting you off and, you know, acting like maniacs. They're driving. They're very controlled. They're, you know, in their lanes. They're not talking on the phones. But the two or three idiots in the crowd, you're just like, oh, traffic is horrible. People don't know how to drive.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Same thing in judging and competitions, right?
Sure.
Get that one on the table. There's 1,000 great judges, and then there's two or three idiots out there, and you get one of these score sheets, and you're like, what? You know, moron, you don't know anything about what you're talking about. You know, you don't know the style. You've never had a commercial example. You know, all you've had is homebrew, and you think you know everything about the style based on, you know, the homebrew examples that you've had from somebody who's never, you know, tasted a commercial example either and got a recipe off the internet. Yeah. And this is how you know everything about this beer? Please, you don't. You know, it's just frustrating.
Somebody punched Jamil's button.
Well, I think, you know, there are very few people who have actually tasted all the commercial examples, good, you know, versions of the commercial examples, and actually understand the style and understand what makes a good beer and all that. And there's plenty of people who don't. But I'll tell you know, one of the things I'm very happy about in this first round of the NHC West.
What's that?
Was that you placed first with your Doppelbach, which is, I tell you, an excellent example of what a great Doppelbach is.
Nice.
You know, again, a lot of judges are like, well, you know, it's hot alcohol, it's excessive, you know, melanoidins. I think that, you know, my Doppelbach, which was scored at like a 49-pointer, you know, over the past year or two.
Yeah, last year.
I think yours is a better example than mine. Mm. I think mine is, you know, more intense.
How old is it?
I don't know, 6 years.
Well, maybe it's past 4 years.
Even in its prime, I think yours is a better example. I think yours is, you know, a little more restrained. I think yours is right in the example of, you know, the ultimate drinkable.
It's supposed to be drinkable. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
You should be able to drink a Doppelbach by the liter.
Yeah. Exactly.
And you're good. And yours, you can't. Mine, you can't.
Right.
And I think you made just a flawless example.
Awesome.
I think that, again, that is.
Well, that beer got better with age. I mean, last year it didn't. And it was still young.
Well, and you gave me an older one that was a little off, and then you gave me just recently the one that you entered in the NHC.
Right.
And that was fantastic.
Right.
And I think the judges got it right this time.
I'm glad.
I think the best beer won on that one.
Well,
because I've tasted that beer, and that was, I can't imagine that there was a better beer than that.
Well, the old one that I originally had made, I had screwed around with too much, and I tried adding, like, simple sugar to it to dry it out, because I thought, oh, it's stuck at 1023. Mm-hmm. It needs to be lower. Mm-hmm. And it just ruined the beer. It was too hot on alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
It had no malt character, no malt backbone like a Doppelbach should.
Mm-hmm.
And then I rebrewed it a year later, and I just didn't screw with it. I left it at 1023.
Mm-hmm.
I conditioned it in the primary, 8 weeks. I let it lager 2 weeks in the keg before I ever bottled it. Mm-hmm. And I just let her sit for a year, and that beer just really just was perfect, I thought.
So would you say your success on that was just really just, you know, getting the yeast in good condition?
Yeah, I did a 1 week, bumps. I bumped it up twice over a week.
And then trusting the yeast to do what they do and not screw with it and just let it have some time.
Yeah, and just love it and caretake it and let the yeast do its work and, you know, be clean and keep it simple, brew a simple recipe and hit your mash temps. And,
see, and I think that here's the thing. An excellent brewer like John here can, you know, you start knowing too much and you start screwing with stuff, trying to adjust this way or the other. And you know, sometimes you need to take a step back and just go keep it simple.
Yeah.
You know, let it ferment out, let it happen, and, you know, see what it turns out over time and, you know, have some patience.
Yeah, that's very important.
I think that's how John made a spectacular Doppelbach.
Yeah, that beer I enjoyed so much that I almost didn't want to even enter it because I was like, well, I only have like 8 bottles left.
Yeah, that was really good, too.
Thanks.
And Doppelbachs take time.
Yeah, they do.
Again, you know, ultimate patience beer.
Well, I'll save the last beer we have for our last show this year.
Ooh.
Okay. And I also have your bourbon-aged beer from Nationals 3 years ago.
Yeah. I still have some of that, too.
Yeah, we're going to just get toasty on here.
Well, I'll make this proclamation right here.
Uh-huh.
Okay, if in the second round that beer, that Doppelbach doesn't place for second or third, and I could accept a third.
I could accept a third.
I'd
be happy to just place. Yeah.
But if it doesn't place, they got it wrong in the second round.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
All right, here we're projecting the future. You balloon heads, you got it wrong if you didn't pick this as one of the winners, because that is a fantastic beer. You did a spectacular job. It shows your abilities when you know, on that beer.
Well, I would say that what I've learned recently, no matter what the judges say, and if you truly believe in a beer is good, and you've worked on that recipe for years, don't throw it out.
Right.
Just keep that and keep brewing it.
Well,
and you know, and if you love your beer, that's all that matters.
Keep entering it.
Exactly.
You know, if you get a set of score sheets, that means nothing.
Yeah. Once you have
10 sets of score sheets, then talk to me. Then you have some information about, sure, you know, about a beer. Mm-hmm. You know, one set of score sheets doesn't mean anything.
Sure.
10 sets of score sheets.
Yeah.
Okay.
You get an
average. Then you can have a trend. And sure, then, you know, you can throw out the high and the low, and then you can start talking. You know, that becomes, you know, reasonable.
Yeah.
All right. So all you guys who entered the NHC, or, you know, maybe you missed out and entering the NHC. I don't know. Here's a good opportunity for you. And I keep talking about how you need to put your beers in a competition. And not because that really justifies whether you're making good beer or not, but it really gives you some objective information on whether what your beer's turning out to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to enter some competitions. Here's a really good one coming up. Is the 21st Annual Southern California Regional Homebrew Championship. It's the deadline for it is June 14th, 2008. Cost per entry, $5.
Whoa.
Which is,
half.
It's pretty cheap nowadays.
So cheap. Yeah.
I don't think you're going to, you know, most of them are like $6, $7, $8, and the Nationals are $9. Coming up soon, you should enter. All right, you got any beer laying around? Put it in bottles, send it down to this thing.
Yeah,
More beer here in Northern California is a drop-off site. You can go to hopheads.com, and I think there will be a link off the Brewing Network site even, where you can go and download the forms and get into that. Send your beer out. It doesn't matter if you think it's great, you think it's, oh, nobody's going to like my beer, or if you think, hey, well, all my neighbors tell me my beer is great, so I don't need to enter.
Yeah.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
All right.
He's like your beer.
You know, find out something from somebody who doesn't know it's you.
Right.
Enter them in. You know, like John, you know, have some stones and, enter these in and see what the response is. And you will learn. You know, I think, you know, John, when you started out, I remember years ago, I mean, you started out, you know, like wet behind the ears, and yeah. and you were very bold, and you went for it, and you've learned from that, haven't you? And your beers are fantastic.
And they're always improving still.
Yeah.
You know, always
learning. Exactly. Yeah. And I think, whether you place or not, you will get some useful information back. And, yeah, sometimes the judges get it wrong, sometimes they get it right, but you need to enter. Well, so
I definitely think you could probably brew an Irish Red Ale right now and enter it in and see what happens. You know?
yeah, exactly. Yeah,
why not?
Are
there going to be any of your Quaff brothers down there judging at all? Or?
Yeah, actually, a lot of them do travel up and help out with that. They try and help with as many events as they can.
Well, that's even more.
I guarantee you, some of them will be there at the 21st annual.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yep. So hopheads.com, give it a shot. $5 an entry, and you will get excellent feedback. They do a good job on the sheets. The organizers there are very much on top of it. So well worth your time, your beer, your money.
Nice.
All right. Irish Red.
Tell us about this wonderful. Sexy.
See, when
dark
ale. When we have been together in a while,
you just
there's so much I need to vent.
Need to hang out more, is what it comes down to.
I know. Yeah. We do.
Outside of
we do. You and your fine lady, me and my fine lady.
Yeah.
Hang out together.
We'll go to DJ's Bistro, you know, drink Pilsner or Kel on draft and get sloppy and eat Bavarian chicken.
Does that sound good? Eating sloppy chicken. Yes.
Exactly. True that.
All right. Irish Red Ale. Original gravity, let's say 1054. You're going to have about 25 IBUs and a 17 SRM for color. That's about a 5.2% alcohol by volume. If you're an extract brewer, start with English Pale Ale, liquid malt extract. And again, all right, here's the thing.
Yeah.
English, I'm going to here's
go,
the
but.
thing us into an hour and a half long show. English Pale Ale. All right, well, if you're looking for English Pale Ale out there, if you see some of this as British Pale Ale or Maris Otter, generally, if they've gone to the trouble of using Maris Otter as their base grain, they're going to kiln it in the style of an English Pale Ale or British Pale Ale.
Right. Okay.
Malt, right? Because it's too expensive to do anything else with.
Sure.
Right? So, English Pale Ale or British Pale Ale is really a way of kilning the malt. its kiln's a little darker, you know, a different temperature regimen, and it develops those biscuity flavors that John and I like mm-hmm. so much, right? Mm-hmm. You know, very common for an English type of beer.
And definitely probably very important for the style.
Right. And you could use just about any malt cultivar to make an English pale ale malt. Some of them tend to develop certain richer flavors, they believe, you know, and I kind of go along with that. Maris Otter being one of the cultivars that is typically used for that.
Right.
There's a Halcyon, and you know, there's just tons of them. And they could use any of those to make a English pale ale malt. So if you're going to try and buy something like this, if it says Maris Otter, go ahead and assume it's an English pale ale malt. You probably won't find anything labeled as English pale ale malt. I think more beer labeled theirs, their extract is that, but they stopped selling it. I think Williams Brewing selling one. Northern Brewer, I think, sells one. You know, there's it exists out there. Yeah. I think John Bull
Cooper's?
Yeah, no. Cooper's. What's the other one?
John Bull Light.
And there's the other one the other in the cans. They actually make an English pale ale as well. So, you know,
definitely
you can
uses.
Find it. It's very common. It's not that hard to find. And if somebody's selling an English malt extract and a Maris Otter malt extract, it's probably the same thing. Go for it. Right. It'll be fine. All right. So if you're saying English, I'm sorry. Just so many things come in on email every day. I'm just, you know.
Hey, let's just do a 2-hour
show. I'm becoming the Howard Hughes of brewing brewcasting here.
Yeah. I like it.
Yes. I've got malt cans on my feet. English Pale Liquid Malt Extract, 8.1 pounds or 3.7 kilograms of the liquid malt extract. If you're going to all grain brew, you're going to instead use a British Pale Ale malt. Okay. Crisp Maris Otter, Hugh Baird English Pale. You know, all sorts of different English pale ale malts out there.
Is RAR English pale?
RAR?
No, this is normal material. Okay. No.
But, you know, you can easily find these things out there. I mean, you know, these are not difficult to get, and I get emails from people saying that it's difficult to get. You're going to use 11 and a quarter pounds or 5.1 kilograms of a British pale ale malt. And again, that's the kilning of the malt. Mm-hmm. You could take an American domestic two-row and kiln it as an English pale ale malt, and it turned out just fine.
Okay.
Right? So a domestic, you know, whatever grain they're growing here, that's fine.
Sure.
You know, as long as it's kiln that way, that's what develops the biscuity, malty flavors.
Okay.
And you would mash at 153 degrees Fahrenheit or 67 degrees C. Your other grains that you would include in that, Crystal 40, you can use 6 ounces or 170 grams. Crystal 120, the same amount, 6 ounces, 170 grams, and roasted barley at 300 Love a Bond, 6 ounces or 170 grams. That's your malt bill right there.
It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Pretty straightforward. You know, that's going to give you a bold malty and a roasty dryness in the finish. You know, Chad brewed this recipe. Turned
perfect
out fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, I think that was...
Did you brew it straight up? Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, and it turned out excellent. It needs a little time to age and kind of settle out and some of the stuff to drop. When it was first brewed, very good. Mm-hmm. And then I think it was maybe 2 weeks or 4 weeks later, 3 weeks later, Chad's saying?
It just got better.
It was excellent.
Mellowed out.
Really, that should have won. That was a far better beer than I had that took first place.
Yeah.
So the judges are wrong. The judges are wrong sometimes. It's kind of a, you know, there's a little bit of hit and miss.
Yeah. But if you save it for next year, probably enter. Yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, yeah. Around here, they're not going to save it. This is the battle that Chad has.
Yeah, consumption.
His beer's so good. Everybody's drinking it. He's never going to be able to hold on to it until later.
He's a frat house. Yeah.
But that was far better than... Now, I have one that I think could challenge you head-to-head on the Irish Reds. I got one that I think is, you know, dead nuts on, but, you know, we'd have to see in a competition.
Well, I think that's what's so great about your book, too, is it's such a valuable resource. Well, and a lot of brewers lately I've found since the books came out, they actually will come into the shop and just have it bookmarked. I want to brew this.
Mm-hmm.
We get the ingredients together.
Cool.
And what a great starting point for a new brewer, you know.
Well, and here's the thing. I was telling Chad earlier, I am so relieved and so thrilled to find somebody. Chad's been brewing a bunch of the recipes out of the book.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll tell you, he's brewing some of them better than I brew them.
He's mini Jamil.
Well, thank
where
you.
It's just fantastic. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, you know, what a relief, because I was worried that, you know, I was the only one that could brew those recipes that would actually turn out good.
But when someone
he's
else
brewing
can do
them
it.
And they're turning out better than what I brew. I'm
look
like, okay, cool. I didn't screw anybody up by, you know, putting these recipes out there. It's like, oh, yeah, you can brew these and brew them better than I do. And, you know, they're just fantastic. Beers, Chad's like kicking
we're all
ass.
Enjoying them, yeah. And, I mean, you know, I think the recipes are awesome. And my fermentation is just kicking ass. So it's like the
fermentation
combination.
Is so much of it.
Yeah.
But
the recipes are awesome.
Yeah.
Well, every time I come here, Chad, your beers are just like a little bit better, a little bit better, a little better. It's like it's 9-day difference each month. So
definitely.
Good work.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Now I'm getting that feedback from these comps. Oh, man. It's on.
Yeah, he'll get the bug in 5 years from now. He'll probably be 2 years from now and then cost you your homebrew of the year.
Kicking my ass like everybody else.
McDowell's got him under the wing. He's recruiting. He's conditioning already.
I tell you.
Yeah.
All right. You know, I'm not giving up. I'm going full strength here, and you guys need to come up and, you know, put the bullet in the back of my head. You know, that's just the way it goes.
Well, if it comes down to that,
you got to take me out. I'm not gonna give up willingly. You need to take me out, and when you do, you know, like John took me out in the bock category. He took me out, man. He brewed a better beer than I could brew, and
he
took me out. You know,
he's heading. He's on you.
Yeah.
Headhunter.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, he's gotten me before, too. You know, it's nothing new to me.
Just take a pint glass to your head.
He takes me out with good beers. Yeah.
There you go.
And so, you know, that's what it is. And you know, I don't brew, you know, magical perfect beers. I brew, you know, some good ones. I brew some bad ones. I brew, you know, whatever. And, you know, when people step up and take me out, you know, you're brewing a better beer than I'm brewing. That's great beer. Yeah. I get to come here. I'm like, Chad, what you got on? You know, what you got on? My glass is waving around. I'm like, hey, you know, this is great stuff. It's better beer for all of us. You know, let's all keep,
raise the
you
bar.
Know, yeah,
raise
let's
the
all bar, keep yeah. struggling and, you know, making our beer better.
Yeah.
And entering competitions is a great way to do that, I think. You know, the NHC or, you know, this Southern California Regional Homebrew Championship, you know, hopheads.com, going, you know. Yeah, Chad's going to enter. I think Doc and Justin are going to enter.
Nice.
And I tell you, if you can beat those guys, you're doing something.
Well, Justin
Seriously.
Shouldn't be a problem. But
Well, he's got Doc to kind of carry him along.
Yeah.
You know? But if you can beat
it's
Doc.
It's not my beer. It's Doc's beer. But I swept the floor.
Right. Well, he lists you in his competition entries. He does. If you can beat Doc and you beat Chad, you beat McDowell or, you know, any one of us, you're doing good,
yeah.
You know. Join in, do it. Let's see what happens.
And we'll email you about what you did.
Right, and if you somehow don't, you know, learn from the sheets you get back. You know, learn from all this. Let's all brew better beer.
Mm-hmm. And if you're beating Jamil, just retire. It's over.
Yeah, stop while your head.
You're there.
That's funny.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I'll see that when it happens.
Well, no, it's been good. I know a lot of Doe's brothers this year. We really beat each other up, and I think as a whole, that's awesome for a club, just to see people just, as a whole, in each category, they're making great beers, and these are anywhere from 3 to 10 guys brewing the same styles, and when you multiply that by 23 categories.
Doe's has put an impressive run together, really, you know.
For the last 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you're in a, you know, a toe-to-toe battle with, you know, the St. Paul and with Quaff and, you know, it's tough. And you guys are really stepping up.
Yeah.
It's impressive to see. And what does that do?
Everyone
regardless of who you know comes out on top, it really raises the level of everybody in homebrew and beer appreciation and craft brew. This helps the pro brewers too.
Sure,
I don't know if they really appreciate that, but well, you know homebrewers spreading around the word of good beer to all their neighbors. You know, people who are drinking Keystone Light. I got my Keystone Light drinking neighbor, you know, going down to.
Sacramento Brewing Company?
Sac Brewing Company, BJ's. You know, he's everywhere. Everywhere he finds craft brew, he's going in, and, you know, he wants craft brew now.
Yep.
You know, he's, you know, it's homebrewers that are driving a lot of the, you know, craft brew sales. I really believe it. And if they don't, I'm sorry. But, yeah. You know,
well, they're the customer,
are helping.
You know,
they're
going in there.
And we're creating new customers.
Exactly.
We're raising the bar. We're, you know, raising the appreciation. And, you know, all of us brewing, you know, good beer, it makes the appreciation of craft brew that much stronger.
And it's a win-win either way. I mean. Yeah, okay. Better beer.
Absolutely. Yeah, as long as I got good beer
who cares,
right? I'm happy. I got. I'm sitting here with John Plisse, Tasty McDowell, and
McChat.
Tasty McChat. You know, the three excellent brewers. You know, producing and Justin, who knows a lot of great commercial brewers who will provide free beer
for him
yeah.
to put his
so,
faucet handle on it.
That was so awesome. You know, I'm sitting here with these three great brewers. Oh, fuck. Oh, yeah, and Justin's over there.
He knows a lot of great brewers.
Hey,
great
can,
researcher. Great
researcher.
A lot of sympathy for him.
That was awesome.
You're a good man.
All right, let me finish up here. All right, hops. Kent Golding's 5% alpha acid, 160-minute addition, 1.25 ounces... or 35 grams. Give me about 25 IBUs using the Rager formula. That's with pellets. Now, if you don't have Kent Golding's, which is kind of hard to come by now, you could use also a Fuggle or a Willamette or, you know, any generally, you know, a hop around that. That would be just fine.
Those are pretty tough to get right now, too, huh?
Yeah.
So what else could you go with?
Glacier.
Glacier, you could go with a... you could even go with something like a Magnum or Horizon, one of the high bittering hops. Again, you know, hop flavor and character in this beer is really limited. You really just want it to kind of lay down there. There is a real subtle background thing going on with the hops where you can just kind of taste some hop in the background. That's why I would go with a Kent Golding if you can get it, or a Fuggler or a Willamette.
What about Challenger?
But, Challenger is good. Good also. Some sort of English hop, but I wouldn't go with anything really citrusy or anything along those lines. You could probably get along with Tetnang, Hallertauer, Liberty, Glacier, you know, just about anything, though. But just avoid the real citrusy hops and you'd be fine.
Okay, nice.
Yeast, I like the White Labs WLP004 Irish Ale or the Y-East 1084 Irish Ale. Those are really the top choices there. Those liquid yeasts, both very fine. Fermentis Safale US05. If you have to use a dry yeast, you want a clean yeast. But really, the Irish ale adds a certain character to it.
Yeah,
it's really appropriate. If you want to emulate something like Smithwick's, like Chad did, you're going to use that. WLP004 or the Y-East 1084, the Irish Ale. There's a character there that's really important. It's not that obvious, but if you taste them side by side, it's like, oh, well, yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, you know, there's it's just in night and day. If you have them separate, maybe you wouldn't think that. So you're going to want to ferment this at about 66 degrees Fahrenheit or 19 degrees centigrade. And you're going to carbonate from 2 to 2.5 volumes.
So it's not that carbonated. You don't want it too overly carbonated.
No. It's balanced, like an American ale or a little less.
Okay.
You know, some of them are a little more spritzy.
Right.
I tend to lay down on the a little less carbonation side.
Question for you, though. You were just stressing WLP04, and I know you use 001 a lot.
Yes.
And I never actually heard you since we've done this show use an Irish ale strain, I don't believe.
Irish ale dry stout. And
do you find that Irish strain complements your recipe? I mean,
yes.
Yeast do something to the sugars
right.
in those malts. So I'm just kind of trying to hit on
that a little bit. I think you're right on the money.
Okay.
I think you could brew it with either. And if you have them side by side, there's a certain je ne sais quoi.
Je ne sais quoi.
you would pick the one with the Irish ale yeast.
Okay.
That's if you were very familiar with the commercial examples and, you know, the exemplars of the style.
Right. Well, yeah. It's definitely a good beer than to do like 10 gallons of. Split the word. two strains and see why you had to go with
it. Yeah, right. And, you know, because, you know, you bring up an excellent point, because you and I have talked about in the past how I will tend to make a run with I'll start out with a couple of tubes of, you know, WLP-002.
Right.
And I'll go ahead and brew everything I possibly can that's English, you know, using the repitch from that.
Right.
And, ideally you would use, you know, certain different strains for different beers. You know, and then I'll do a lot of 001 or the YEAST 1056, and I'll do you know, a whole run of those. And I'll do the Scottish ales I'll start out with, and then I'll do all my American ales, and maybe I'll throw in some stouts, too, and maybe I'll throw in an Irish ale as well. And, you know, it makes a big difference. And actually, you know, the Scottish ales are the one where I would go with the Cal Ale yeast, the 01 or the 1056 before I'd go with anything labeled as Scottish.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It really does better.
Right. You know? You've always stressed that cleanliness.
Yeah, it has to be, you know, super clean in those. Yeah.
Okay.
And where the Irish ales, you know, they say there's, you know, people use lager yeast as well for that. And the lager yeast examples just don't taste right to me. Yeah. I don't know. They're not so good.
Maybe in a Baltic Porter, but not an Irish Red.
Well, in Baltic Porter is the next show coming up. Yeah, that is going to air May 19th. Or if you are listening live, because we're here live in the studio. And
once a month.
A whole chat room and all that. Yeah. And there's the phone lines, although we don't answer the phone lines because we don't want you disturbing us.
Yeah, because there's a flow.
Yes.
There's energy again.
Yes. That's coming up next, and you'll hear that right here.
So you want to take a break? And
yeah, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, we are going to answer questions from that live chat room. We'll be back right after this.
Oh, crap. It's the hop shortage. He's in the basement.
Oh, please. My triple decocted imperial pilsner.
It's all gone. We'll never brew again.
Damn this hop shortage. Damn it to hell.
Was is los? Hop shortage?
Who are you guys?
Ich bin Doppelbock.
Ich bin Kölsch.
Und ich bin Münchener Helles.
Wir don't need a lot of hops to be delectable.
Now brew something malty.
Use less hops, brew more beer. Northern Brewer has kits and ingredients for dozens of worldwide beer styles that don't require a lot of hops to make a great pint, like the cool blonde Kölsch or the ponderously bottom-heavy Doppelbock. Keep drinking great beer. Order at northernbrewer.com and get flat rate $7.99 shipping anywhere in the contiguous U.S. One beer kit, $7.99 shipping. 1 million beer kits, $7.99 shipping.
Together we can beat this hop shortage.
Now get brewing!
Hi, I'm Sean O'Sullivan, the brewmaster and co-founder of the 21st Amendment Brewery and Restaurant in San Francisco. 6 years ago, Nico Freccia and I opened the 21st Amendment on 2nd Street with the intent of bringing back the local neighborhood brewpub. Well, the neighborhood has really changed over the years, but the 21st Amendment still remains a great place for people to meet over a terrific meal and a tasty pint of beer. In the past, the only way you could enjoy the 21st Amendment's handcrafted beers was at the brewpub. Well, all that has changed. Now, the 21st Amendment beers are available in cans. That's right, cans. When was the last time you had a great beer in a can? Well, that day has come. We're offering our world-famous Watermelon Wheat and 21A IPA in cans. Cans are a better package than glass because cans keep the beer fresher longer, but you can also take cans to places where bottles can't go, like the beach, lake, golf courses, and sporting events. So join us in the revolution to take back the can from the big breweries and crack open a cold 21A craft beer in a can. The 21st Amendment, 563 2nd Street in San Francisco, just 2 blocks from Giants Park.
Valley Brewing Company is Stockton's premier microbrewery and family restaurant in the heart of Stockton, California, just off the Miracle Mile. Brewmaster Steve Altamari crafts a full array of award-winning ales and specialty beers, from their Hitman Gold American Pale Ale to their Black Cat Stout, or any one of their monthly specialty brews like Valley's Uber Hoppy Imperial IPA. And the best part is, you can now purchase kegs of Valley Brew to take with you from their all-new 30-barrel brewery, now open in Stockton. So pick up a keg and get a taste of one of California's oldest brewing traditions. To find out more about Valley Brewing's historic past, their selection of beers, or family-friendly restaurant, visit them online at valleybrew.com. Or stop by and sample the beer at 157 West Adams Street in Stockton, California, where pitchers are just $5 all day on Sundays.
Live. Beer Radio. The Brewing Network.
The Brewcasters.
If you're just starting, don't be discouraged by all this stuff. Exactly. It's so easy.
Just throw it together.
Put you're some sugar and some water and some yeast in there.
Yeah. It's
beer. Wow! I feel good. I knew that I would not.
Now, back to the Jameel
Show. I feel good. I knew that I would not.
So good.
I feel
so good.
Good.
I got you.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, you know, during the break, we're talking about the 2-1-A again.
And
here's the thing. I don't get any freaking discounts either, man. You know, I go in, I pay retail. I pay goddamn retail on my pints of beer down there.
It's,
you know, if Sully's there, certainly. He's you know, treats me, you know, like I'm his...
get a
redheaded stepchild. I don't know. And he treats me like, you know, like a king. You know, he's very generous, very kind. You know, Jesse the brewer, you know, takes great care of me as well. You know, gives me, you know, free beer. You know, these guys give me free food.
But when they're not there.
When they're not there, I'm paying retail, man.
You got to throw it down. You got to say,
nah.
Do you know who I am?
Do you know who I am? They'd be like, no, $4.25, please.
Yeah.
No.
Well, first, you have to look like somebody.
So. Right, there you go. Yeah. Well, need to put on more weight. Yeah. No, but it's well worth it. Mm-hmm. I tell you, I'm paying retail. I'm glad to pay retail. You know,
keeps a good beer there.
Yeah, as long as I'm getting it.
Getting it.
Excellent stuff. I get nothing from promoting this place. No. I expect nothing.
Just get good
I'm
beer.
Telling you, it's food. It's one of the best places in San Francisco.
Jameel, that red ale that you had there, what was the carbonation level on that beer? Do you remember?
It was the one that I had?
Yeah, 21A. You said you had a red.
You know, that was not over. You know, one of the things I love about the 21A. They don't overcarbonate that thing.
Not at all.
And again, this wasn't an Irish red. This is more like an American red. Mm. Well, you know, probably in the 2.25, you know, or so. They don't go overboard on the carbonation, which I like.
Which is great, yeah. It's, mm-hmm. It's good for drinking.
It was so well balanced. Yeah. Everything, I mean, it just came together. 50-point beer for me.
I've had their Irish red, actually. And they actually served it with nitrogen. And it was amazing.
This one was hoppy and you know, had a nice malt background, dry enough finish. They understand a couple of things. One is you know, dry enough finish to keep it very drinkable. So you're like, you have a drink. There's nothing cloying left over on your palate. So you're ready for your next sip. You know, I could finish a pint in a minute, easy. Really, you know, I was like trying to slow myself down. It was so good. And, you know, the right amount of hoppiness, the right bitter to malty balance, just fantastic. That's really, really, you know, great beer is about drinkability.
Oh, for sure.
Doesn't matter the style.
Like the Union Jack.
Union Jack, Firestone Walker, or, you know, the Saison DuPont that Mike poured. You know, the ideal thing about it is all these styles, when done right... When done by, you know, a brewer really knows their craft, it becomes extremely drinkable. It doesn't matter if it's a sour beer, or high alcohol beer, or low alcohol beer. It's just like you have a drink and you say to yourself, "Wow, I need another."
Right.
You just keep drinking and keep drinking. You're just like, "Oh, you know." And maybe you pick up new nuances, or you know, it just tends to feel quenching, or you know, just you know, it's just an amazing thing. Mm-hmm. And when a beer isn't that way, there's you don't there's drink it. There's something there's yeah. you know there's a flaw there yeah. you know that's stopping that, and it may not be that obvious, and but you know something like that is just fantastic. Anyways, I'm rambling away.
But I had
a couple more questions. Yeah, yeah. Let's dig into this.
Well, you were in the beginning of the show. You were talking about how the style guideline really stresses caramel mm-hmm. and caramel flavors and mm-hmm. aromas and stuff. And in your recipe, you listed that you use Crystal 40 and Crystal 120. My question to you is, one, why the blend of the two crystals?
Mm-hmm.
And another question is, why would you not use more of just one or less of another
right.
to get the same effect? Or is it not even possible?
Or would you use like Crystal 80?
Right, right. Or yeah, an 80 you know, or 75.
Instead of
whatever.
6 ounces of Crystal 40 and yeah. 6 ounces of Crystal 120, how about 12 ounces of Crystal 80?
Yeah.
It's an excellent question. You know, each Lovabond of the crystal malts has a different flavor, right? So Crystal 40 is more kind of caramelly.
Okay.
Crystal 120 gets kind of into the raisin, slightly roasty type of notes.
Okay.
Crystal 80 is more along the raisin line, and 120 is raisin plus roasty plus fig.
Right.
And they all have different flavors. So what you're trying to do is provide different flavor aspects across that. And the 40 gives you some of the caramel, which you'd kind of lose the caramel if you went just 80.
Mm-hmm.
120 gives you a little bit of a roasty, kind of dry caramel, fig, you know, okay. dried fruit
yeah.
that you'd lose if you went to the 80.
Okay.
And so it's kind of, you know, we're trying to hit those two things, the caramel and kind of the roasty, dry fruit notes.
Okay. Now, does that Crystal 120 with those roasted note qualities complement, you know, that 2 ounces of roasted barley you use?
Yeah, yeah. Well, 6 ounces of roasted barley.
6 ounces of roasted
yeah,
barley.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Right.
Well, and now, why 6 ounces along. And not 4 or 12? I mean, how do you approach?
A lot of experimentation.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not sure if I started with 6 ounces or I'd have to look back over the logs. And, you know, I may have even started with 2.
Wow.
And then, you know, it really wasn't given the effect. And, you know, I probably started, you know, the way I am, I probably started a little low and I probably went up. And I finally got to, you know, 6 ounces being about right.
Okay.
And again, that gives a kind of a roasted dryness.
Which is crucial.
To the beer. Yeah, right. yeah. You have to have that dry finish. So it needs to attenuate well.
Right.
And then you need kind of a little roastiness to kind of finish that out.
And that will complement that caramel flavors that you're getting too.
Right.
Because you
right.
get that caramel up front,
uh-huh.
the roastiness
uh-huh.
will complement right. as it finishes.
And I think you could drop all of these down to maybe 4 ounces each. So
uh-huh.
4 ounces of the 40, 4 ounces of the 120, and 4 ounces of the roast barley. You know, Chad's example, you know, it was a little intense, you know, just a tiny bit. But I think that helps it stand out a little bit. It was excellent. Still
just
extremely
pushing the edge, yeah.
drinkable. Right.
Sure.
If you want to be closer to Smithwick's, I think you go 4-4-4. It's okay. 666.
Okay.
But I like the sign of the devil, so, you know, that's me.
Keeps you doing a show.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
It's a little deal with the...
That's
know.
Your other show.
Yeah. Good old Lucifer. Another one was how important is the boil? And, you know, 60-minute versus 90-minute with this style, and does that timeline affect the impression of caramel malts coming through?
Well... You know,
especially caramelization and stuff, melanoidin is produced.
Our buddy John Palmer, he stresses how caramelization doesn't happen unless there's like oxygen and certain, you know, 350 degrees and all this stuff, so it doesn't really happen in the boil.
Okay.
Well, something happens in the boil, melanoidin formation that perhaps that, you know, mimics caramelization.
Hmm. Okay.
It kind of gives that perception. So, generally, if you're boiling full wort volumes, you don't get a whole lot of caramel development. And color really doesn't develop that much unless you're really scorching something. I think Chris Colby from BYO kind of proved that in some stuff that he did. So,
you don't think of the burning and the boiling of those sugars in the boil? They don't actually not brought out by the crystal malts. I mean,
you know, there's the, you know, caramelization requires, you know, a certain heat, you know, like 350 in boil is 212. You know, you get some points on the bottom that are hotter
sure.
temperature, and then but it also requires oxygen.
Okay.
So and there's no oxygen in that in that liquid. It boils out very quickly.
Okay.
And there's pretty much zero oxygen in that liquid.
Huh.
And then hard to say. But there are some flavor. There's definitely some flavor development there. I think it's more melanoidin than it is actually caramelization. Okay. That's why if you're making like some of the Scottish ales, you can caramelize them by boiling it down to where you get just like a thin layer of liquid on the bottom, and you're really actually caramelizing.
Okay, interesting. Nice. Did you want to recap the recipe, or?
Well, I think we got a few questions from the chat. We're running late, but I think we got some good stuff.
No, yeah. We did end up getting some real good questions here toward the end too. Real quick, what's your water to grain ratio on this recipe?
I almost always use 1.3 quarts per pound of grain. Okay, you can go anything from 1.3, 1.5. When I do recipes for BYO magazine, again, BYO magazine, I write the style profile column for that, and you go to the Brewing Network and buy a subscription to BYO. It's again going to make you a great brewer. I use like a 1.5 on that. So you can use, a 3-to-1 ratio if you're doing metric, weight type of thing. But I use 1.3 quarts per pound of grain.
Okay. And yeast, I believe you said White Labs 004 or the 1084.
Yes.
Using yeast. This listener wants to know what you get out of that yeast that you won't get out of the 002. Or the 1968. I don't know if you know what those two are. But.
Yeah, those yeast, you're going to get, more ester development than you will out of the 04. And a different ester development out of the 04 than you will out of the 02. Every yeast is a little bit different. It's like, if I look around here at the studio, I see a bunch of, fat white guys, that like beer. Well, they're still different,
What?
By a bunch, he means you, John.
Yeah.
Exactly. Look at you.
Yeah.
He's one skinny white guy that likes beer. But, they all, they live in different houses, and, when they pee, their pee tastes different, and, when they fart, it's different aromas. Different. Again, it's, it's
you can bet on that.
For example, we got the tasty McDole and we got the McChad.
Yeah.
And as similar as they appear here in the studio, they're different. Yes. And the beer they make is different, right?
True.
I bet you could taste tell the difference between the two beers.
There's different equipment, different.
Yeah, exactly.
Different.
And it's the same thing on the yeast. You may think those yeasts are the same, and they may look the same, and you may think they got the same pedigree, but they're slightly different, and they make in some cases I would pick the tasty McDole, in some instances I'd pick the McChad. Both excellent. Different situations, different choices. And the same thing goes with the 04 and the 02.
Okay. One of our listeners, he's either lazy or broke because he has German Pils and not Maris Otter. And he wonders if you should just not even bother with this style. Do you have to have the Maris Otter? Is German Pils just going to be totally off base?
Yes.
Okay. Good. That's what he wanted to know. Because I think he wanted to do the style. Answer. Fair enough. Yeah. Okay.
It'll be fine, but it's really not going to turn out exactly right.
Okay. How close is your recipe to Smithwick's?
Pretty darn close.
Is it?
Especially, McChad brewed it, and, it was a little maltier. Again, if you want to, back down on the specialty malts down to 4 ounces, cut it by a third. I think you'd be really, really close.
Okay.
It'd be better than Smithwick's because it's fresher and...
It's homebrew.
Brewed with love.
Yeah.
All right, and the last question, and I know you guys covered this pretty generally too, but I'd like to reiterate it. This person thinks that most of the examples of this beer he's had commercially are really clean and balanced. Should it be more malt forward than clean and balanced? You know, a lot more on the malty side.
They should be clean and balanced, but yeah, they are fairly malt forward, you know, initially, and then you kind of get a dry, roasty bit in the end. I think a lot of American examples might be more caramelly as well, but and excessively clean. Again, I think that 004 gives you, or the 1048 gives you kind of enough of ester, kind of that English profile, that or Irish profile, that kind of really adds to the beer. And it's not, you know, flawlessly clean.
Okay. All right. That's it from the chat. It's all yours.
All right. So let's recap here.
With that book of yours called Brewing Classic Styles.
Brewing Classic Styles. If you haven't bought a copy, somebody emailed me today and asked me for a recipe. I said, it's in the book. You haven't bought the book yet? He's like, well, no, I'm waiting for the conference. That's all right. I emailed him the recipe out of the book.
You have books here, aren't you? Huh? At the conference?
I don't know. They probably will. They'll have me sign them and all that. Awesome. I'll probably be at the conference signing books. But, you know, it's all right. I don't mind. It's just going to pay for my hooker and blow budget. You know, it's...
Yeah,
that happens. Since I get beer for free, it's probably my beer budget.
Yeah.
All right. So, original gravity 1054, IBU 25, using the Rager formula, color 17 SRM. You are going to use English Pale Ale liquid malt extract, 8.1 pounds or 3.7 kilograms. If you're an all-grain brewer, use English Pale Ale malt or British Pale Ale malt, 11.25 pounds or 5.1 kilograms at 153 Fahrenheit, 67 degrees C mash temperature. Your other grains that make up your grist is going to be Crystal 40, Crystal 120, and Roasted Barley at 300 LUV. 6 ounces of each are 170 grams. Your hops, Kent Goldings, 5% alpha acid, 60 minutes, 1 1/4 ounce or 35 grams. Ferment that with the White Labs WLP 004 Irish Ale or the Y Yeast 1084 Irish Ale. If you have to use dry yeast, your best choice in this case is going to be Fermentus Saffale US 05. Ferment around 66 degrees Fahrenheit or 19 degrees C. And carbonate to 2.5 volumes. And that should make you a pretty good Irish red ale. Unfortunately, the judges don't really understand that style very well and look for heavy caramelization. If you really want to do that and succeed in competitions rather than making the best Irish red ale you can make, you might look at the Scottish Ale show that we did and brew the Scottish 80, and that should get you pretty close. Or something in between there should be pretty close. If you have the time, I would suggest showing up to the Brewing Network anniversary party. It's going to be Saturday, June 14th at Downtown Joe's in Napa.
Should be fun.
Starting at 5 o'clock. I'm going to be there probably from Saturday, June 12th. Thursday, June 12th through probably through Sunday, June 15th.
Just staying there.
And I'm going to take the motorhome. I'm going to have a great time.
Awesome.
And, you know, you guys ought to show up. I tell you, this is going to be the party like you wouldn't believe. Colin Kaminsky at Downtown Joe's. You know, first off, great food, great beer, and they're going to allow us to do homebrew and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if you got budget to fly out here, do it. It's going to be great. And,
plus, Justin throws one hell of a party, so.
Yes. All right.
There you go.
All right, so we're going to have a great time. All right. Brew strong.
Brew strong.